I just want to say that I've really enjoyed working with Anne over the past months. She is one of the co-chairs of our convention, and I am so looking forward to hearing her story. She is really a steadfast part of our community, and I'm so lucky to have her in my life. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Anne.
Thank you, Risa, for those wonderful accolades. And I feel the same way about you because you are the glue that has held this convention together. So I'm so very grateful. I am grateful and thankful for all of you all who showed up tonight and to be part of the convention. And I have had, it has been my pleasure working with all these wonderful fellows. Before I get started with everything I say, that I would like to say the set aside prayer, please. God, please help me to set aside everything I think I know about my program, about you, and help me to say what you want me to say and let what I say be able to help someone to be able to recover today or to make up their mind about recovery. And please let it touch me first. I just thank you for everything. All right, I will get started. I would say my name is Ann. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater and a food addict. Yeah. I've been in programs since the late 90s. I've been abstinence and recovered for 21 years. I'm maintaining an 80-pound weight loss. And I am so grateful today to be in a healthy body weight. And I will ask Risa to put my pictures up on the screen so that you can see my physical recovery. This is me. That's probably about the only outfit I was over 230 and I stopped weighing at that on that particular picture. And that's me doing my college graduation. And that's me in the middle, and then the one woman on the end was my godmother, and she died of colon cancer. And she and I was laxative abusers together. But I thank God he gave me another chance. And that's the last one. That is when I was had lost most of my weight on this picture. Thank you, Risa.
Sure.
I will start out by telling you what my life was like before OA, what I did, and what my life is like now. As I can remember, I have always been, I hope I'm not going too fast, I'm doing the best I can. I have always been a compulsive overeater as far back as I can remember. I remember one thing that happened in my life that my father was going to one of the little, I lived in the country, and he was going to the country store to make some purchases. And I was babysitting, I probably was about 8 or 9. And I convinced my brother and my niece to get on the back of the truck so that we could get some sweets when we got to the store. And I wanted sugar so bad that I was willing to risk my life and those that was in my care. And I convinced them before we got there, I got afraid that I was going to get in trouble. So we jumped off the back of the truck. And I said, well, try to jump into, we were in the grass, but of course, anybody knows that if you're on a moving truck, it's almost impossible for you to try to jump into the grass. And we all got out, thank God we didn't get killed. We just got our arms all skint up and everything and bruised up. But I'm grateful that still to be alive today to tell that story. And one of the things that happened to me, I was very traumatic in my growing up. I remember that I was raped when I was eight years old. I was raped by two of my cousins and their teenage friends, and they were teenagers as well. And I was one of the, when I was growing up, I never wanted to get in trouble. I always wanted to be the good girl. So my mother had already told us not to go down to the lake, but those were my cousins, and I felt like I should go and they would protect me. Instead, they raped me. And they, as a result of that, I had many female problems, including the fact that I was not able to have kids, and something that I always wanted to do was have children. And I'm just grateful today that, and I didn't want to get in trouble, so I didn't tell anyone. My mother died, and she didn't even know the secret, so I had kept the secret all those years, even before up until I got into OA. And my cousin was They was very crude boys, so they told us that if we told anyone that they would drown us in the lake, and being me being that age that I was, I believed them, so I didn't tell anyone. So I'm just very grateful today that through this program, I have been able to forgive them. And I always wanted to be a mother, as I said, but I didn't, but I'm grateful that God has allowed me to be a mother to my beautiful daughter who is adopted. And she doesn't have any children, but I've also had the opportunity to be a grandmother to many children in my life. And God has given me that opportunity. He used that incident to bless me to be able to have my dreams, to be able to be around children. So I'm very grateful for that. And I remember that secret that I had of not telling anybody. And all I did was eat over that secret every time I thought about what happened to me and the state that I was in. And I would sedate myself with food because I grew up in a household that said, you don't tell your secrets. What happens in the house stays in the house. And we know today in program, you are as sick as your secrets. So I'm just grateful today that I was able to tell that secret. And fast forward, and I married when I was 22. I married the first man that asked me. He was a preacher, and I thought, wow, this is going to be wonderful. I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to have an identity. I'm going to be a first lady. This is so exciting. And when I realized that that was not that first lady was not all it was supposed to thought. I thought it was going to be. But I remember being around the church. I did a lot of binging on weekends. I was very unhappy because I had to live two lives. I lived one life when I was not in church and another life when I was in church. And my ex-husband would say to me, you have to make the people happy. You got to put your best foot forward. It doesn't matter what he was doing on the outside. I had to pretend that I was happy and everything was okay. And I wasn't okay. And I was very unhappy. And so I'm grateful for that. That brought me to program. Then one thing that made me happy was when I adopted my daughter and put all of my everything into her, poured everything into her. But I'm grateful today that she turned out to be pretty healthy regardless of what I was going through, because she left home at 17 and she came here to Georgia to go to college at Georgia Tech. So I was very grateful for that, that whatever the craziness that was going on with me, whatever it was, she got to be a very healthy adult. So I'm grateful for that. And as I go on in my marriage life, at age 24, I developed type 2 diabetes. Well, I was very afraid when I developed type 2 diabetes, because type 2 diabetes, the complications from diabetes took my mother when I was 16. And also my father passed away when I was 11. He had several strokes. And I had a sister who passed away when she was in her 20s, and she was like 26. So I was just very afraid of dying. And at the time when I was 24 years old, the doctor diagnosed me with type 2 diabetes, and I was on 3 insulin injections a day. And I just knew that I was going to die, that I wasn't going to be able to survive, because all the people in my life that had diabetes, they were dead. And so the fact of it is that I was diabetic, and I was eating over being diabetic because I did not want to be diabetic, and I didn't want to die because at a particular time, I had my daughter and I wanted to be around for her. But the fact of it is that emotional pain of knowing that I was going to die made me eat more. And so I thought that I had a sentence of death, and I would hide when I had to go in the bathroom to take my insulin injections, I would hide from the people because I didn't want people to know that I was diabetic. But just think about today, what kind of danger I was in, because what if I had had, if I had a diabetic episode where I needed some medical attention, no one on the job would have known that I was diabetic. So that was pretty crazy to be able to hide that from people. And I even hid it from my best friend because I just didn't want that people feeling sorry for me about that. And it was just so much pain. And so I really did want to lose weight because the doctor told me, he said, well, type 2 diabetes, sometimes when people lose weight, It helps you, maybe could, you could not be diabetic, because you could be in remission. But I just did not do that. And I tried all kind of diet pills. I tried laxatives, liquid diets, pay and weigh, all that thing that I tried. I tried everything. You named the diets, I tried them.
The interpreters are asking you to speak a little slower, if that's all right.
Okay, thank you. I tried everything, even I thought that I could talk to the doctor and ask him to wire my mouth shut. And he said, what good would that do? He said, because you will find a way to drink the liquids, even if you don't eat. And the doctor was telling the truth. And it was just so bad till I remember that when my daughter was young, she was about 3 or 4 years old. And I was so lethargic when I got up from work in the afternoon until my blood sugar was like in the 400s. And I couldn't do anything but lie on the couch when I got home. And I would turn on Sesame Street, as we know that a lot of people know that Sesame Street was a babysitter in those days. And I would turn on Sesame Street, and that danger, she could have gotten out of the door. She could have she could have did anything. But I had taught her that you just watch Sesame Street, don't leave. And I would sleep for hours because I was so lethargic. And so, I ended up in my marriage was on the rocks. I was in a lot of emotional pain. I had a lot of physical problems as a result of being diabetic. I also had high blood pressure. I had gastrointestinal problems, acid reflux, all of those things. And when I went to the doctor, he would say, you need to do something because you're killing yourself. And I would say, oh, I'm going to do something. Well, when I come back, you're going to see I'm going to be better. And it never happened that I was never better. I went back. I was always the same. I may have gotten it down from 400 to 200. So anyway, at that marriage that I was in, that marriage ended, that first marriage ended. So I married for the second time. But this time, I was willing to try to get help for my marriage, because this second marriage was not good at all, because I came into the marriage with a lot of baggage, and so did my second ex-husband. He passed away, but I came into OA after when I found OA. I got a job as an addiction counselor. And I did not know anything about 12-step programs, but I got that job because I told the man that I had lost some weight, and I was on a yo-yo. I was yo-yoing back and forth. So I guess at that time he knew that I needed to be an OA. So he gave me the job. And when I came into the job, I didn't know anything about 12-step programs. I was very judgmental toward people who was in 12-step programs. When I did find out, I said, oh no, those people, I'm not like them. And I was very judgmental about people. But when I went to take my clients out to an AA meeting, there was a meeting next door that was a non-smoking meeting, which was a women's meeting. And that meeting, I went to that meeting because I didn't like smoke. So I didn't want to go into one where all the smoke was. When I went in that meeting, I met a lady in that meeting. And she was telling me about, about any other 12-step program? She told me about OA. It was a Wednesday's meeting. And so I was very grateful. And I went back and I talked to my supervisor in the program. And I said, I didn't know there was a program for people who with food issues. And he said, why don't you take the clients out to a meeting? Because a lot of them could use it. And so when I went into that particular meeting, I heard people talking about the things that I was doing with food at home, the hiding that I was doing, the stealing of food, the over compulsive eating, the binges. And I thought this I didn't know this was a disease. And so when I got into that first meeting, I found a sponsor, and I didn't really do anything. The first time it was in the 90s, I found that sponsor, and she was someone who was, she was a nice lady. And I didn't work in the steps or anything, but she was just nice. She would call me. She'd say, honey, you all right? And I said, yes. And I was just dieting with group support because I was never working in the steps. And then my weight was going back up because I had lost some weight in the pay and weight program. And the doctor say, your blood sugar is going back up. And my blood sugar was rising back up. All my health problems were going really bad. And in 2000, I went to a meeting one Friday night, and I didn't see any people in there. Only one other person of color that was in the meeting besides me. And I said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I want to do something. I do not want to die, because my parents, they were not around for me during my adult life. And I wanted to be around for my daughter when she got out of college, that she didn't have grandparents. My parents died before she was born. And I wanted to be there for her. And I didn't want to kill myself. And I didn't want to be on dialysis. And I didn't want my legs to be amputated. And I didn't want to be blind. So I just say, you know, I want to do something. So I met a lady in that meeting. And she said to me, I said, I'm looking for a sponsor. And she said, okay. She said, I'll tell you what I would like for you to do. She said, you go home and throw out all of that food that is not on your program. And I want you to get a nutritionist. I want you to work these steps. And I want you to call me in the morning at 6 o'clock a.m. And I said, call you at 6 o'clock? I'm not a morning person. She said, that's okay. If you want what I have, you will call me. And I said, well, do you know tomorrow is Valentine's Day? I said, my husband is taking me out to eat and I never miss a free meal. She said, that's okay. You still can go out to eat on Valentine's Day. She said, but I would like for you to be able to purchase a scale before you go and weigh your food out. I said, weigh my food out? Who does that? I said, my goodness, people think I'm a freak sitting up there weighing my food out. She said, well, you know, I really don't think that those people are going to pay any attention to you. She said, it's all in your head. She said, but when you're lying up in that hospital with your legs amputated, she said, you know what's going to happen? People are going to remember that for about a week. And after that, no one is going to come to visit you. So those people are not going to care. But if you want to live, you would follow directions. So I went to that. Next day I did go. I went out to eat. I took the scale. I looked all around. And to my amaze, and nobody was thinking about me. Nobody was looking at me, any of those things. And so I was very grateful that I went there and I did what she said. I made the three phone calls. I made the three phone calls like she told me to make the outreach. I went to a nutritionist, got a food plan, and I began to work the steps like she asked me to. And I wasn't completely all the way through the steps. And then I had a few slips. And she said, you know what, with a slip, she said that you need to inventory that so that you would know why you had that slip. She said, because it's not about the food. It's about what's eating you to make you want to eat compulsively. And so I did those slip inventories. I inventoried those slips. And I was grateful that I cleaned them up and I maintained my abstinence. I maintained my recovery. And I prayed. She said, well, you know, it's the simplest prayer is, say, God, help me when you get on your knees in the morning. And she said, when you go to bed at night, you said, thank you, God, for helping me. I made another day of abstinence, another day of recovery. I started going to meetings. The meetings was a long way from my house, but I said, I'm going to meetings. My eyes were a lot better at night than they are now. So I went to meetings at night, and I just asked God every day to help me with my abstinence. I was able to lose my weight. And then I was able to reverse my diabetes. The doctor say, I would like for you to talk to my other patients because you've never done this well. And he had been my doctor for a while. And he said, your blood sugar has always been out of control. Your health problems are, you know, I could take you off acid reflux medication. I could take you off diabetic medication. I never did get on high blood pressure medicine, but my blood pressure was always in the borderline range. And so he said, I'm taking you off all of these things. So I started going to the meetings and I started doing small jobs because I would carry the key and so that I could open up the building, the OA meetings on Saturday mornings. And then one time I was the treasurer in there so that I could pay the rent. And, you know, I never was a person that wanted to be bothered with money, but I just say all of those jobs kept me in the rooms, kept me coming back. And then one time I was like assistant secretary, and I was like, I don't know how to take notes. So I said, well, I don't know how to type that well. I type with two fingers. So I said, so the person who was the secretary, she said, that's okay. If you take the notes, I type them up. And so I did those services. And when I did those services, I kept going back to the program. I kept coming back. So I was just very grateful. So I'm working the steps today. I'm living in 10, 11, and 12. And a timer, how am I doing on time with the person who's taking the time? I don't know if she... Hello?
That's Cindy. She's speaking up. Her...
Hi. Yeah, you still have about almost 5 minutes before you have 20 more, so...
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Well, thank you. So what I did was I started working the steps after I got the nutritionist and got my food plan. I started working the steps. I started going to meetings, and I started to, I made outreach calls. I didn't sponsor at that particular time, but I went through the steps. And when I went through the steps, I was able to forgive my cousins who had abused me. I was able to forgive them. And I had to work the fourth and fifth step a couple of times before I was able to forgive them, because I had never confronted them. But when I confronted them, those feelings of anger and resentment came up all over again. So I had to work through them again. But I'm grateful today that I knew that I had to forgive them, not for them, but for me. So I'm just very grateful. And I think today that I'm grateful to say that today I've had a lot of miracles in my life. I lived in Florida, and I moved from Florida to Georgia about 8 years ago. I lived in Florida 40 plus years. I had a house in Florida that I had been there since I was a teenager. And I moved here, and I did it absently. And when I moved here, the first thing I did was to get my daughter to take me in Smyrna to look for a meeting. And I said, God, help me to get to this meeting. And I wasn't used to it being so dark in Smyrna, because in Florida, it's not like that. We have a street light on every corner, but the roads were so dark. But I made it to those meetings because I wanted to maintain my recovery, not just because I moved, didn't have anything to do with it. I still want to be in recovery. And I know that I had to be able to attend meetings to continue in our recovery. And that was part of my tools, to be able to go to a meeting. And so I'm just very grateful today. I had since I've been in program, I lost my brother in 2013. He was my younger brother. I did not lose my abstinence during that time. I maintained my abstinence. And in July of this year, I lost my sister. And in August, I lost my nephew. And about a year or two ago, I lost my 36-year-old niece to heart disease. And so I've had a lot of deaths in my family. But I'm grateful today that I am in recovery, and I have a lot of miracles in my life. I have gone, since I moved here, I've been on about three cruises, and I did it absolutely. I came back from the cruise. I didn't gain any weight. And people say, oh, you go on a cruise, you know you're going to eat. But I did not. I maintained my abstinence. And when I got ready to go on that cruise, I talked about it in my OA meetings and hear it, and people said, hey, did you know that there is a AA meeting on the cruise? I said, no, I didn't know that. And when I got on the meeting, I found out the meeting was called Friends of Bill W. And I went to those meetings, and I took my OA material with me, and I went to those meetings. And those meetings helped me to stay abstinent, because it was a lot of temptation. And if I had not been in program, because I've known that I've gone to places where there was those kinds of smorgasbords, I would have just overdid it, but I did not. I maintained my abstinence. But so I'm just very grateful. And I have, and then when I, before program, I always wanted to dance. And I remember when I was in high school, I wanted to dance so bad, but I was so heavy, and no one ever, the boys never picked heavy girls. Fat girls didn't get picked when they were in school. They were always left out. And I would say, nobody would ever pick me. So I would say, well, I don't want to dance. I don't like dancing anyway. And I really wanted to dance so bad, but I never got picked. But I just, when I moved here to Smyrna, I joined a senior dance group. I took some dance classes. Now I can do yoga. I can get up and down off the floor. I can do so many things that I could not do before.
And you have 20 minutes left.
Okay, thank you. So I've had so many miracles in this program. I've had so many miracles. And today I do not take any medication for diabetes. I have been medication free from diabetes for the last 20 years. When I started out with diabetes, I had like a 7.5 or 8 A1C. Today, my A1C is 5.7. I even lost weight during the pandemic. And when I went to my doctor, she says, oh, I know you're going to gain weight because everybody's done gain weight during the pandemic. And she says, no, you lost weight. What? And I said, you know, I've been doing the same thing, whether or not I'm in the house or whether I'm out the house. I'm going to meetings, and I took her a brochure about the OA meetings and about OA itself. I took her one of the flyers about it. And so I'm just grateful today that I've had a lot of miracles in my life. Today I take vitamins, and I take, I just recently was placed on some Allegra for allergies. And I say, I told the allergy doctor, I said, I wait to get this age to get an allergy. She said, yep, you're allergic to all shellfish. I said, well, it's okay. I don't eat shellfish anyway. So it was okay with that. And so I'm just very grateful that I can walk 3 to 4 miles, 3 to 4 miles a day, 5 times a week. And I can go up and down these Georgia hills and I'm not out of breath. And that's just a miracle, the miracle of this program. And I am so grateful. Today I'm spiritually, I pray, I meditate. I do my best to treat people right. And when I'm having a problem, I do a 10-step on it. I don't go in the refrigerator. I don't go in a bag, a box, or reach for food. So I'm grateful for that. And this this week, I had a colonoscopy on Monday. I had to fast for 2 days. And I would have never been able to do that if I was not in the program. I would have been eating when it was over. But I said, no, I'm preparing my food before I go for the procedure. When I come back, I'm going to eat the same thing, because this is not a diet. This is a way of life for me. And today, my abstinence is 3 weighed and measured meals. Even when I'm in the restaurant, I don't always weigh at the restaurant, but I know what a portion size look like, because if I go ahead on to eat when I know it's over a portion size, I'm fooling myself, and I cannot lie to myself. So I weigh and measure my food. I have been abstaining from sugar and white flour for 20 years. And my sponsor told me how to recognize when I'm going to read the ingredients. If the 5th ingredient is sugar, you can have it. And she said, all the OSE words, that's sugar, alcohol, sugar. You can't have those either. So I've been following that plan for the last 20 years. My food plan has been tweaked over the years because, as you know, once you get older, you don't need as much food. So you have to tweak it. And so I'm just very grateful for this program that I have done. I do service in this program. I do service by... Since I moved here, I was the intergroup rep for our Smyrna meeting. And we just closed about a month ago. So I was intergroup rep up until that time. And when others took the position, I always was the backup for those people. I have been the region rep for Greater Atlanta for 3 years. I'm not the region rep anymore because I was going to give service to the Ebony meeting. So the Ebony meeting that I attend, I'm the chair for the Ebony meeting. I have been the chair for the last 2 years in the Ebony meeting. I give service in the BIPOC meetings and all the meetings I give service. So I'm grateful. Today I sponsor. I work my program to the best of my ability. I pray and leave the outcome up to God. And I still do service, and I still make my phone calls every day. I still try to reach out to newcomers. And I'm just very grateful for the service that I could give today, because today I know that I cannot maintain what I have if I don't give it away. So in order for me to keep what I have to give it away. And the best way, as said, the big book says, in order for me to keep what I have, is to give it away to another fella for those that are still sick and suffering. So I'm just grateful today. And I'm grateful today that I've had the opportunity to co-chair this convention. It wasn't easy, but with God at my side and all of my amazing OA fellows who have given me so much support, that I'm grateful that I was able to do it. And I'm going to end with a reading from for today. This is my daily meditation reading. I do this, I read from for today. There's a workbook that goes along with it. So when I pray in the morning, I meditate, I do spiritual literature, I do OA literature, I do writing, I make a gratitude list. And so I'm grateful that I don't just pray in the morning, but I pray throughout the day and ask God to help me, because I know that I couldn't do any of these things that I'm doing without my higher power, who is God. And I'm grateful for this way of life. I wouldn't trade it for any others. So I'm going to read on September the 8th from for today. True freedom is to share all the chains our brothers wear, and with heart and hand to be honest to make others free. James Russell Lowell. I am thankful for what I have received in Overeaters Anonymous, but if I am to keep it, I must remember my sisters and brothers who are still in the chains of compulsive overeating. I am willing to break my anemone, to share my experience with those who are still sick. The love and compassion in my heart was poorly expressed in the lonely habits of compulsive overeating and accompanying feeling of self-contempt. I am thankful today that I have been relieved of my chains, that I have discovered a higher power, experienced a spiritual awakening, and can tell my story to others. For today, it is through the love and friendship of others in OA that I have found freedom. Only by working with those who are not yet free do I fully realize true freedom. And I am grateful today to be free of compulsive overeating one day at a time with God's help. And thank you. Enjoy the rest of the convention. And I am open to anybody who would like to ask me a question, and I will do that, answer you to the best of my ability.
And thank you so much. Oh my goodness, that was wonderful.
That was wonderful.
Oh. It's really amazing to hear.
It's really amazing to hear.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We will now have open
chair. We will now have open chair and question.
You know what? I think I hear.
You know what? I think I hear some.
Usually, if there's two electronics on at the same time, it'll do that.
Yep, that's right. Somebody else had their sound up, and it was repeating back to me. All right. So we will now have open sharing and questions. If you would like to share, please use the raise your hand function by clicking the reactions button at the bottom of the screen and choosing raise hand. If you're on your phone, find it under more than reactions. If you can't figure out how to raise your hand, type your name in the chat, say you want to share, or say your name in between shares if you're on your phone. The floor is open for 3 minute shares. Please follow these timing guidelines to allow more attendees to participate in the workshop. Give your first name, where you live, how long you've been in OA, and length of abstinence and or maintenance. Please recognize the timer when you hear it and quickly wrap up your share. The floor is now open. And I'm gonna turn over the hands to our participant minder, Linda.
Thank you, Risa. Thank you so much. Our first customer is Roz. Please share.
Hi, Linda. It's good to see you. Anne, I have to just tell you, your share was so moving. I want to make sure I got to tell you. I don't have a question. I just wanted to tell you how amazing your recovery is. Oh, I'm supposed to give information, right? Okay. I've been in program since 1982, and my current abstinence is about 7 years. I'm a slow learner. And I don't remember what else I was supposed to share. I'm basically on maintenance now. And I share something with you. I lived in Florida for 20 years and I just moved to Georgia 6 months ago. So, oh my God, Smyrna's not that far from me. I have to meet you. Anyway, you've been through a lot. And I just want to ask you one question. I love what you do in the mornings, you know, your whole morning routine. I wanted to ask you though about, what do you do at night? Like, what's your night routine?
My night routine is I do some reading. I pray. I try to meditate, but most of the time I'm falling asleep. So I usually pray, read some literature, and listen to some meditation music.
Thank you. You're wonderful. Bless you.
Thank
That's
you.
Yes.
Jacqueline, you're next, please.
Jacqueline, compulsive overeater, in recovery today by the grace of God and the help of the fellowship. I'm so happy to hear this beautiful share and to know that persistence and perseverance can bring about miracles. I'm very pleased to be Anne's sponsor, and whatever she told you is true. Thank you.
Dion, did I say it right, or from Ohio? Can you unmute, please?
Dion, I'm not sure that you heard your name.
Yes.
There it is.
Oh, okay. Hello, 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 everyone. Hi, my name is Dion, or from Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio. Been in OA since 1990. Abstinence since June 23rd of 2012, and very, very grateful that I met friends in Overeaters Anonymous like Anne and countless others. And Anne, thank you for sharing your beautiful experience, strength, and hope, and reminding us not only do you get physical recovery, you get mental, emotional, and spiritual recovery. And it feels so good to give it right back, you know. And the more I give back, and I hear your share, so you turn that tragedy, well, God allow you to turn that tragedy into multiple blessings. And you've blessed many, because a lot of people, when they talk, I can tell who their sponsor is, you know. So keep on keeping on. Don't give up, because from what I understand, it ain't over yet. We woke up. We can still keep growing. And I just love you so, so much. And I love how you share your light to so many people unconditionally. And with that, I'll pass. I'm looking forward to the rest of this convention.
Bye-bye. I hate to jump in, but I just wanted to ask each of the speakers, please just pause after each sentence so that our interpreters who are doing simultaneous interpretation can get all of your words out to anyone who's speaking Spanish or Portuguese. Thank you so much.
And Risa, did you want to share too?
I do, eventually.
Yeah.
I know I'm like fourth or fifth in line.
Okay, all right. Cindy W.
Hi, I'm Cindy. I'm a compulsive eater from California. Thank you so much for that share. That was so beautiful, you know, and what someone talked about, turning like tragedy into just gratitude and blessings. And what a miracle, you know. And just the proof that this program, you know, can change people's lives and transform us from the inside out and turn, like, you know, awful circumstances into something that can still be a life beyond our wildest dreams, you know. And I've been in this program for over 20 years, so I'm also a slow learner, and I have now, I just celebrated 8 years of abstinence. I'm very, very grateful for that. And I've, you know, one thing that I have to be grateful for with the pandemic is that I have a sponsor that's from Georgia. And, you know, when we started doing Zoom, I started going to her face to her meetings, and I just love you guys so much. It's just so weird. I feel like I'm like in Georgia. You know, someone said you have so many friends out here, like you can like come out here and all, you know, there will be a lot of people that like house you, and I feel like this is my family. It's like so funny. Reese, I think, just invited me to her house with her hands. That's what I just took as the body language. And I'm so grateful. You know, and you were talking about how people, about the cruise thing, and everyone talks about like how hard it is to be absent on a cruise, and I've been on 6 cruises, and I've never actually had a dessert on a cruise ship, and I've never actually been in the food on a cruise ship, because I went on my very first cruise like the year after I got abstinent, you know, and I don't even know what a dessert on a cruise ship tastes like. And that is a miracle. You know, there's so much more beyond the food, because if I want food, like it doesn't matter. I can go out of my house and find food anywhere. You know, I can't shelter myself from food just because there's food 24/7 on a cruise ship. There's food 24/7 in my house too, you know, and all around me. And that's the beautiful gift this program gives me every day, is that I don't have to avoid it. I don't have to fight it. I don't have to avoid temptation. You know, I've been relieved of the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, you know, and transformed through the spiritual awakening. And I'm so very grateful. Thank you guys for being a part of my recovery.
Thank you. ST. ST.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me share. I was trying to write something down so I could speak a little bit more slowly, because I'm a really fast talker and I don't want to fluster anybody. Hi, my name is ST. I'm from Georgia. I've been in program since 2007 or 2008. I've been in recovery since 2020. I am one of those who, because of the pandemic or as a result of the pandemic, realized that the extra weight is just not gonna help me in fighting this disease. And so I've actually lost 3 dress sizes during the pandemic. And thank you so much for your share. I connected a lot with what you said as being part of my own experience in the program. I'm encouraged to keep going to reach my ideal weight. My question is about the set-aside prayer. Can you say it again? And can you tell us a little bit more about where it came from and how to use it?
Okay, the set-aside prayer is one of the OA's prayers. And you can take the set-aside prayer and add whatever you want to it. So that set-aside prayer, when I said, I added to it what I wanted to put in it. And it's just like it is with any of the other prayers. You can ask what you can put in a prayer what meets your needs. So when I said my set-aside prayer today, I want what I said to be coming from my higher power and to be able to help someone. And not only everything that I say usually doesn't, I'm not worried about who it's going to, other folks are going to help, but I want it to help me. When I say it, it helps me. So that's why it's a set aside prayer that is one of the OA's prayers. But if the history of it and all of those, I couldn't tell you that, but I do know it's an OA approved prayer.
Okay, Hope.
Thank you.
Hope?
Oh, I thought Risa was next. My name's Hope. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, everybody. I want to say thank you to Anne. I loved your story and your share. I want to say thank you to our hardworking translators. I know it must be difficult. We've had so many people work so hard on this convention. I know that we'll call out some of them later, but I just want to say tonight, Anne, you have inspired me. I've seen you around Atlanta but I never knew your story. I've been in OA many years, and I've lived in Atlanta for, this is now my home, although I've been in Mexico for the last 3 years. But I've met compulsive overeaters all over. And like tonight, Anne has inspired me. When she shares her experience, strength, and hope, it makes me realize that I can do it too. Even though I've been abstinent many years, I am still a compulsive overeater, and I need to keep coming back no matter what. And I really loved your sharing the personal things. It just amazes me that how we can all recover together in this program. Thank you for the gift you gave us tonight, Anne. Glad to be here.
All right, Risa, please share.
Thanks, Linda. Hey, I'm Risa, recovering food addict. I'm so grateful to be here today. I'm from Atlanta, and I have been in OA for 9 years, and I have 9 years of abstinence as of yesterday. And you know, I don't know if anybody else ever experiences this, but when I am close to my anniversary, I just feel a little like a little crazy. The smell of burning leaves, you know, the smell of fall. I smell that smell and I think Halloween is coming. And it makes me think about where I was before I got to this program. And I am so grateful for my recovery. And when you shared your story, you told my story in lots of different ways. And there was something I wanted to talk about, but I can't remember what it is now, of course. But it's so wonderful to be in a meeting, to be able to be of service and still listen. And I'm so grateful to everyone in this meeting who is doing service, so that I can still listen to the message. I am really grateful for our interpreters. Thank you so much for Sophia and Aninia. And I hope that I'm speaking somewhere close to slow enough. It's not easy. I feel nervous and the words just bubble up. But there's something also really comforting about taking a moment to feel what I feel and let that form into words. And I think it's the thing that I feel when I get tingles all over my arms and legs from hearing someone tell their truth. That also happens to be my truth. I'm so excited to be able to hear the stories of so many different kinds of people. One of the wonderful things about this convention is that we're hearing voices, unique voices from all different walks of life, all different kinds of folks. We get to hear the stories of addicts, of overeaters, who have lived very different lives from us. But the truth is that we're all the same. Together, we are all the same. The things that I struggle with are the things that Anne struggles with, are the things that everyone in this room, we know exactly what you're talking about. And I just am so grateful to you to hear your unique voice throughout. I guess what I mean is each of us has a unique voice, and I'm so grateful to be able to hear that. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Risa. Diane, you're next.
Thanks. I'm Diane. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater, celebrated. From Metro Atlanta, Georgia. I celebrated 41 years in the rooms. last month, September. My abstinence, I hasten to add that my abstinence date is from January 2020, at the beginning of this pandemic. And I have been abstinent throughout by God's grace. I just wanted to say to Anne, thank you. And I too lost weight during the pandemic. And I'm a chronic relapser, as you perhaps guessed, because I've been in the rooms for years. And Anne was one of the first people that I met. I met her right after she moved to Georgia. And she had been abstinent. And I just didn't see that a lot. But one thing I wanted to say about Anne is she values her commitment to this program, to the rooms, to her abstinence. But most importantly, she worked so hard to bring people along with her. Ever since I've known her, you know, she's just always encouraging, yeah, you can do it, go on, you can do this, volunteer for this. She got have me doing all kind of things in these rooms. And you know, you just love her. I love her so much, but when she does it, she said, I hope I'm not, you know, pushing you too much or whatever. You know, she always has a way of kind of apologizing, making her amends, but at the same time, she never lets me off the hook. And for that, I am grateful, because today I do service mainly because of my sister Anne always encouraging me. And that's what the program is about. Not only do we want to sustain our abstinence, but it's about unity and bringing others along with us so that they know about this program of recovery. So thank you for your service. Thank you so much for your honesty in sharing tonight, and for each and everyone that's worked so hard on this committee. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Diane. Sandy B., you're next.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Anne, for sharing yourself with us today. And it is so good to see you and to hear you on all the meetings that we shared announcing this convention. It's so good to see you sharing at the same thing you've been talking about. And you did a good job of advertising it. I am Sandy B. I live in Virginia, and I have been in OA since the late 80s. I am a chronic relapser. My latest date is April of this year, and I am losing weight. I have taken 200 pounds off my body, and I'm grateful for that. I do have a question for you, Anne, and this is where I'm at. I too, as we get older, we have to let go of more food. You know, something else has to go. Either become, it just becomes a problem. How did you feel when you were going through those different stages of letting go of foods that's maybe started bothering you?
Well, after I had been working the steps for a while before I started making changes, and as I started going through feelings that I knew that I don't deal with feelings anymore with food. Because before, with any changes that occurred in my life, I would reach for food. So, but I'm grateful that when I had to make those changes, the doctor say you had to take certain fruits out of your diet. You got to do this. You got to reduce that. You know, it was okay with me because I looked at it like this. I'd rather to give up food and have a full life than to hang on to something that's killing me. And that's what that was doing. And I realized, you know, less active you are, the older you get, the less food you need. And so it was okay, you know, for me to be able to do that. But I learned, you know, through these steps, whatever it is, you could 12-step it and you can get through it. And that's what I did. And thank you for your question.
Okay, Janet, you're next, please.
Thank you. My name is Janet. I'm a recovering food addict. Hi, everyone. Hi, Anne. Thank you, everyone, for your service. I'm so grateful to be here. Grateful that I got to hear you, Anne. And I'm just grateful for you, Anne. You know, talk about service. I mean, that's you. And yes, and you brought me along, that's for sure. You know, I came into OA. Excuse me, I came into OA in the early 80s, and I did not remain in OA all these years. I was in and out of OA. So now it's been 3.5 years of abstinence, almost 4 years of being abstinent from compulsive overeating. I'm so grateful. And I have been learning a lot. Anne has been teaching me a lot. I call her up and I can ask her just about anything. And she's encouraged me to do service. And when I thought I couldn't do it or I wasn't doing such a great job, she just encouraged me and just say, you know, just what we heard, you can do it, you can do it. And you know, and she's right there if I need help. And I'm so, so grateful because this is what we do. This is part of what this is all about in OA, as far as I'm concerned. I never felt like I belonged, you know, too much before OA. But now developing relationships with fellows in OA, I'm learning that I do belong. I belong here. This is my program too. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have a desire to stop eating compulsively. And so I belong here. And so I'm so grateful that I have Anne in my life and other people, other fellows who are helping me. I relate so much to first of all, your spirit of gratitude. Reminded me of my first sponsor. Even today, today we're best friends. She's not my sponsor anymore. But whenever we would talk from way back when, almost everything out of her mouth, every sentence would be, I'm grateful, I'm grateful, I'm grateful, I'm grateful, you know? So you remind me of her, Anne. And so now I do that too. I'm so grateful because I remember what you said. I remember what you said, what it was like. Sorry, I'll slow down. What it was like before OA. And that I could not stop eating compulsively. And I'm so grateful that I have OA today and I have these steps and I have the support of so many fellows in this room. And today I've maintained almost 4 years now, maintaining about a 90-pound weight loss. I have a sponsor, I sponsor others. Thank you. I do service in a BIPOC intergroup. And whenever I'm asked, I do service. And yeah, that's it. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, Rachel, yes, please share.
Yes, I just popped up there. Something you said, Anne, was that because of the program, you were able to turn tragedy into a blessing. You talked about not being able to have children, but through this program, you've been able to be involved in many children's lives. And I've been around the program since the late 90s also. And my current abstinence is 38 days of complete abstinence. And I thank God for that. But in going through the steps again, the things that I did through the fourth and fifth step and sixth, seventh, and now the eighth and ninth, going from a life that was full of tragedies and resentments and negative things, my hair is just doing funky things with this background. going through those tragedies and following them through as I fill out the various columns and doing my different steps, I can see those things turning from resentments to blessings. And I don't have to live in that resentment and that tragedy anymore. I can live in the sunlight of the spirit by working the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. I don't see any more hands, Risa. I guess it's your turn.
Thanks so much, Linda. And thanks everyone for a great meeting. I want to say thank you to Linda. Thank you to Cindy. Thank you so much to Kelly. Thank you especially to Sophia and Aninia, our interpreters. And Anne, thank you so much for your amazing, wonderful story.